Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Locked On Cavaliers podcast, your daily look at the Cleveland Cavaliers, brought to you by Fear the Sword and the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I am Chris Manning, your host from FearTheSword.com and the Step Back. Today's show, we're going to get into something that I know a lot of the Fear the Sword commenters and people on Twitter and emails I get about the pod wonder about, and that's DeMarcus Cousins. As we stand here today on Monday evening as I record this intro for the Tuesday show, there is nothing reported substantial about Cousins being a potential actual target for the Cavs pick. We know the Cavs have received calls. We know that there has been some chatter about that and a lot of speculation about that. As we know right now, that is not something that has been discussed. To help me break down the possibility of that deal, though, what could cause both teams to really want it, I turn to Jake Madison, the host of Locked On Pelicans, and a writer at Bourbon Street Shots, to talk about this and to talk about what this really could mean for both franchises, how it could affect the Cavs if it actually goes through, and what the asking price might be. I still am of the opinion that I think the Cavs will hold on to this pick and actually take a player unless LeBron says he's going to stay, and I don't really know if they're going to get that guarantee until next summer. So, hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Jake Madison, you can follow him on Twitter at NolaJake, and we're going to get into all this. Also, just letting you know, Chetty Osman is playing really, really well in Eurobasket. Three games in, he's been, I think, the best player in Turkey so far. His worst game was on Monday against Serbia, but he still had two really, really great chase down blocks that I thought were just, you know, great, great plays on his part. He's really played a lot of minutes as well. I think you're seeing some things with him that he still needs to work on, particularly attacking off the dribble and whatnot, but I think you're seeing a guy there who's playing really well, and I think I've come away very, very impressed on him, and I think there's room for him to have a Patrick McCaw, who was the Warriors rookie last year, to have that type of role in the Cavs this year. So we'll see if that happens. We're getting close to media day. He'll certainly be something I want to hear about from LeBron and Ty Lue and Kobe Altman and stuff, but he's playing really well, and I think he's worth paying attention to. He is playing today, 2 p.m., against Belgium, which should be one of the easier teams for Turkey to beat. And then they finish against Latvia and Kristaps Porzingis later this week. So good test for Chetty. He's played really well again so far. I think been the best player on Turkey. And it's been fun to see him just kind of play so hard and whatnot. But also letting you know that today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Now SeatGeek, as I'm sure you know, is the best way to buy and sell tickets right on your phone. You can download the app for free on any smartphone. You can go on their great website, and you're going to get the best deals to whatever you want to see, whether that's a concert, Indians game, a Cavs game, whatever it is, you can find it on SeatGeek. All the deals are graded. If you see green on that app, it's a good deal. If it's red, it's a bad deal. If it's yellow, it's an okay deal, but you know exactly what you're getting. There's no hidden fees. You get to see the view from your seat right in the app, and you're going to be able to make an informed decision on your tickets, and you can buy them in two taps. So all you got to do, find the ticket you want, two taps, boom, you got your ticket. I literally just used SeatGeek on Monday. I bought Indian tickets for this Friday. It's a dollar dog night, and I didn't think I was going to be able to get tickets, but I got really good outfield seats because of SeatGeek. It was a green deal, and I knew I wasn't getting gypped, and I knew I was getting the best possible deal right on SeatGeek. So use the promo code LOMBA. That's LOMBA. Save $20 on your first purchase, and go see something you want to see. But here's today's show with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans. We'll be back tomorrow with another show. Get those mailbag questions in for next week to LockedOnCavs@gmail.com or tweet at LockedOnCavs. And please go give the show a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. That is the best way for you to support this podcast. And I hope you guys enjoy today's show with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
So So joining me today is Jake Madison, who's the host of Locked on Pelicans. Jake, what's going on?
Not too much. Thanks for having me on. Discuss these rumors and everything going on here.
Yeah, but it might be generous to call it rumors. I think we had some people in our mentions when you tweeted about this that were like kind of like angry that the word rumors. But like, we're here today to talk about DeMarcus Cousins, the Cavs' Nets pick, now that they now in the 2018 unprotected first rounder, and the possibility that the Cavs could flip that pick for Boogie. And that's something in the comments and for the sword that people like clamor for all the time. It's something that people like are sort of thirsting for in a way. We should both just say here, on my end of it, from my understanding of everything here from the people I've talked to, just my general vibe of things, I do not think the Cavs would flip this pick for Boogie unless LeBron was like, I want that and I'm staying. I think there's a lot that sort of would have to happen, and I think those are unlikely things to happen. And at the same time, it'd be hard for me to believe that the Cavs would just deal for something and for a player who could walk next summer. And it's also just like from everything that Jake and I both know from what has actually been reported, there hasn't been a Woj bomb about this. There hasn't been like a Zach Lowe tweet about this. It's like some guy who tweeted about it, whose like Twitter account that he said of the outlet he worked for like didn't even work. Like it was like an active account or something. So this is just like speculation basically at this point, but it's something, at least on my end, that people like ask me about all the time for various reasons.
No, and it's like the dead period in the NBA. It's fun to kind of speculate and talk about this stuff and just come up with wild scenarios, since during the season we're not going to really be able to do this. It's like you said, Woj and other people are going to be coming out and reporting this sort of thing. And to clarify with some of the people in the mentions after I tweeted out that you and I were doing this, Pels fans, I don't want to say they have like a complex, but like they get very defensive because it's very easy, based off past history with Dell Demps as the general manager, to say they should blow it up and to kind of crap on the team because they haven't really built a track record of success. So whenever it seems like someone's coming for one of the Pelicans players, the fans get like up in arms and ready to defend the team here.
Do Pelicans fans right now, as you look ahead to this season, it's the first full season of the Boogie Brow pairing. What is the mood right now of that fan base in terms of like, is this team going to be good? Is this pairing going to work?
You know, I'm more hesitant on it than I think the feelings of the fan base. I think the fan base is bought in of the too big idea and that this can work. And, you know, the common thing is to point out that there's like no wing depth. And this is probably where these rumors are coming. Not even rumors, really. Like what you said, these are just things people are throwing out there. And they're getting thrown out there because there's no wing depth here. So Shumpert, who was like near unplayable from my perspective, watching him in the playoffs at times.
He's not good. Yeah,
there's no other way to put it. And it's like you can build a trade for Cousins around Shumpert almost, even though it's really the pick. But you get what I mean, because there's such little wing depth here, especially after Solomon Hill went down. But people say, you know, oh, we don't need wings when we have these two bigs. And, you know, the way I look at it this year, and I have them pegged for right around like 42 wins. I think 42 and 40 is my early prediction on it here. You know, it's an experiment. If this works, I think maybe you get away league-wide a little bit from the small ball style, which is, you know, playing fast and that sort of thing here. Maybe you can win if you have the right two bigs, which is thought you really can't do it. It's an experiment. I'm of the wait and see approach, but Pels fans think this is going to work. And hey, I would love nothing more than that.
Yeah, and let's also just point out that like the talent discrepancy between a DeMarcus Cousins level player and an Amon Shumpert level player is like astronomical. Like it is a star franchise player versus a borderline unplayable wing who thinks he's a lot better than he is. Like that's just like the reality of the talent difference there. And it would be like it would be for the pick realistically, but it's hard to see.
Just aren't, they're kind of all in right now, which is the issue here. If you look at it, you know, you have Davis under contract for a couple more years. And of course those rumors to Boston and everything are going to keep coming up. And this is what makes Pelicans fans, you know, insane. But at a certain point, like you do just have to figure he's going to be fed up with this and want out. And I think that's what kind of drives all this. So they are in win now mode. If it doesn't work here with Cousins, and I don't want to jump too far ahead because I know we'll touch on it, but yeah, there's potential they might trade him around the trade deadline if things aren't going well. And then if he walks at the end of this coming season, if they don't make the playoffs, let's say, and he's gone, you have to look at to blowing up this team and getting everything you can in return for AD.
Yeah, so let's talk about this Pelicans, the possibility that they could look to sort of unload things. Cousins, last year of his deal, didn't give up much for him. I mean, let's start with this. Do you think like that pairing that you mentioned, like, a little skeptical of, Is that something that, like, should, in your mind, at the start of the year, should be able to hit their ground running? Or is this something that still needs time to sort of iron itself out? Which, frankly, in the West, the Pelicans might just not have that time. Like, that seems like a distinct possibility to me, that they just don't have the time to fully develop. Is this pairing ready to win games, like, from day one there, and make sure, like, make the whole year worth investing in those two guys with the threat of Cousins leaving next summer?
Yeah, I think they can hit the ground running. You know, their record after the trade and after the All-Star break wasn't ideal, but there were some flashes. And yeah, I think they played 17 games together and they were 7-10. But if you look at the month of March, like the beginning of March through kind of early April there, and DeMarcus Cousins didn't play in some of those games. Davis didn't play in some of them either, I believe. The team did go 10-6 with a top five offensive rating, a top five defensive rating during that time, and really looked like they could compete with anyone in the league. And even Drew Holiday was playing well during that period. So I think they've kind of worked out some of the kinks and some of the spacing issues, at least with those two. And I know people like to laugh at the thought of DeMarcus Cousins playing in a fast-paced run-and-gun transition Alvin Gentry offense, but I think it oddly works in a weird way due to Cousins' three-point shooting. If you watched him when they did play fast, and they're still going to play fast, he often acts as like the trailing man in transition. You have, say, Holiday and Davis leading a fast break with Cousins kind of lagging and pulling up the rear, and then he parks his butt on the three-point line, and he's going to be wide open if the opponent tries to take away the easy transition bucket. And he shot something like 37% from deep last year with the Pelicans. So, you know, I think they can hit the ground running. The biggest question is, do they get offense from other guys? You can have Davis and Cousins go off for close to, you know, 25 points each per night, but can they get scoring from the supporting cast? You have Drew Holiday being moved to more of a two-guard role, which I think works better for his play style. I don't know if it works with these two bigs because he struggled mightily after the trade. And then Rondo's not going to be the answer. You know, I like Ian Clark, but he's not going to be the answer. Who knows who's playing small forward right now? It's probably someone who hasn't played in the NBA in the past year, if not 2 years for the Pelicans. So there's a lot of questions there. You know, the two big thing is going to work. It's just, do they have the supporting cast around them?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that I sort of wonder if, like, they're just kind of going to be in trouble, because, like you mentioned early in the show, Solomon Hill is already hurt. Rondo's Rondo. Like, he's a weird fit for me for those two. Like, I was sort of surprised that that's the route they went, just because of what Rondo is and what his weaknesses are. But, like, you have Holiday, you have, who should just be better this year, I would imagine, just because everything he went through last year. And you have those two bigs, and you have, like, some other at least talented players. Like, I think Ian Clark was, like, a decent, like, cheap signing, even if he's not, like, a great, great player. Where do you just sort of see this team headed in the middle of the West?
You know, it's interesting. So in the West, I think there's clearly, you have the top four teams more or less set in some order, in Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, and OKC. And after that, there's like eight teams fighting for those final four spots. And I think they're all going to be really close. You know, I still like the Jazz, the Clippers, depending on how they handle being without Blake. You know, I see the Pelicans, like, most realistic best case scenario, not counting like injuries to guys like James Harden and Curry and all that, but like, if everything kind of goes well, maybe you're looking at a six seed, but, you know, maybe being a game or two above the eight seed. And if things go poorly, they could still be a decent enough team, like a above average good team that misses the playoffs by, you know, a game or two potentially. So it ranges anywhere from like the sixth seed to finishing, you know, 10th or 11th in the West, depending on how some of these other teams come together. In any other year, you know, I think you talk about this team just with, you know, Davis and Cousins and Holiday playing that third, you know, wheel here, being solidly in the playoffs. But man, the West is just brutal right now, and you can't, you know, guarantee this Pelicans team a spot in there just yet.
Is there a floor for this team that is just everything goes wrong and we're looking at a situation where, like, this team is, like, out of it and within the first couple months of the season? Is that, like, a realistic scenario for them in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, but it's going to be heavily dependent on injuries, which, you know, they're already losing a starter. And let's not say Solomon Hill's, you know, an amazing basketball player here. He averaged 7 points per game last year, and that was it. But, you know, this Pelicans team did have a top 10 defense, and he was kind of key to that, since he can guard twos, threes, and fours, you know, at different times and depending on the player. And that positional versatility he brings was very important to this team's identity on defense, because they switch on virtually everything. Now they've got to kind of figure that out. So all of of a sudden the defense, which really rose up after being in the bottom third in the league for the past 3 years, is going to struggle to start the year, I think. Offensively, it's like we said, can they get enough scoring from other guys? Rondo, you mentioned, is an interesting situation because he was likely brought in just to kind of unlock Drew Holiday. Holiday played much better when they started Tim Frazier in the backcourt with him to end last season. I think, you know, after trading Frazier, they wanted to bring in another kind of more pure point guard to pair alongside him. And, you know, even if Rondo doesn't give you anything, that deal is going to be judged on does Holiday play well or not. And the question is, I don't know if Holiday really fits in with these bigs, so I could see him struggling. He loses a lot of that space that he needs to drive to the rim, and his turnover spiked when Davis and Cousins were on the court with him. Not a good situation because that's who he's going to be with. But, you know, this team's been beset by injuries and just weird circumstances to start the past 2 years. Head coach Alvin Gentry has complained about not getting enough time in preseason and training camp with the core of the roster and has people out and things like that. And this year was finally the year Pelicans fans thought this wasn't going to happen. And then the Solomon Hill injury happens. And then if Davis, who's been, you know, kind of fragile at times in his career, goes down for a short period of time, or Cousins goes down, or something happens, this team's going to bottom out. And then that's when you're going to start hearing the rumors really heat up of should they trade Cousins at the trade deadline to just get something in return, because you have to figure the only way they're going to get to re-sign him, and they'll dangle, you know, a 5-year, you know, max deal for him, which should be around $180 million or so, and more than anyone else can give him. They'll offer that to him, but at a certain point, does he just want to win and actually get into the playoffs? And if that's where they think he's headed, you've got to potentially move him to at least get something back to show Anthony Davis that, hey, there's still some assets here. We got another player. There's still hope for the future. Otherwise, he might be asking for a trade. And that's where everything kind of snowballs and ends up being an absolute disaster for this team.
Is there a scenario where they trade both of them during the season this year?
No, I can see Cousins, and you could sell me on that, especially if, you know, it looks like playoffs are just absolutely out of the question here. But Davis, no, unless they got some sort of nuts offer that I can't even speculate on. And, you know, it's like 5 first round picks, maybe, you know, presumably high first round picks. You could maybe talk me into that. But no, I don't think so. He's still under contract for 3 more years after this season. That gives you, or, you know, a little bit of time here to at least kind of sell him on the idea, or at least work on a trade during the offseason, at least not at the trade deadline. But sooner rather than later, if things go really poorly, I could see it potentially happening.
Because I think the Cousins like fit with Davis. Like, I think it should be better. Like, and I think it's just like they actually have time to play together and all these different things. Like, you actually should just get better. But getting something for Boogie is just sort of an interesting question, because like you should be asking, because of how talented he is, even though he's like, I keep forgetting that he's already 27, you know, like it's sort of like hard to get my mind to like think that he's 27. I still think of him as this young guy. He's in his prime. He's also a free agent next summer. That complicates things. What for you is like a baseline of like what actually would work as a Cousins deal?
You know, it's interesting because they got him for cheaper than any other team would have gotten him, just because Vivek Ranadive is just, it was nuts, insane in love with Buddy Hield, which is great. This is fantastic. Everyone loves Buddy. He's the nicest guy ever. So, you know, getting him for what ended up being, I'm blanking on it right now, like the 7th pick in the draft, I think, something like that. And Buddy Hield was pretty good because Buddy hadn't looked, you know, like a world beater just yet, or looking like anything other than maybe an okay starter in the league. So, you know, at one point it was thought maybe if they flip Cousins, you might be able to get kind of more assets or higher draft picks or something than they gave up for him. But we've seen that expiring deals heading into a trade deadline don't net you a lot in return. The Pels had this 2 years ago with Ryan Anderson, basically like everyone knowing he wasn't going to be back, and they didn't trade him, and it was because they didn't really get offers they like. I can tell you they actually had a first round pick on the table for him and rejected it. It was a well in the future first round pick and probably not going to be a good one, but knowing that he wasn't going to even be there, they just decided to say no and hold on to him. So, you know, if you look at how this front office has kind of run this in the past, it's going to need to be kind of high, I think. I think they'd rather kind of, you know, go down the ship with this AD and DeMarcus Cousins pairing. And even if they're, say, 10 games out of the playoffs, maybe hope that after that they can somehow make it up and just live and die by this deal from last season. So I think you're looking at kind of a similar return to at least a player alongside, you know, Buddy Hield's caliber who can at least contribute right now along with some first round pick. I don't think we're talking Nets first round pick good necessarily, depending on the player with it. But, you know, a pick and a player, I think, is basically what they're going to be looking at as a baseline here. And if they don't get that, I think they'll hold on to him. They won't trade him just for a first round pick. I think it's they'll hold on to him and see if maybe they can make a push to re-sign him that offseason, because at least they have the inherent advantage with the bird rights and the offer that they can make him.
What has he been like in New Orleans? And you being around the team and covering the team, what has Boogie sort of been like, and how do you think he has sort of adjusted to being in a very different situation than he was in Sacramento?
You know, I talked to a lot of the Sacramento Kings writers about him and his attitude. I had Leo Biaz on Locked On Pelicans with me, which was a really interesting one, because that's the guy that DeMarcus Cousins yelled at before a game one time for writing a post about him and stuff like that. So it shows you the state that, you know, Cousins was in. But as far as I know, and from talking with him, nothing but a model citizen. You know, he's really bought in this offseason. That's the biggest thing to me. If you look at pictures of him, he's lost a lot of weight and looks almost like a different person. He's been working out constantly with Anthony Davis, whether it's been in Los Angeles. The entire team was in Kentucky working out at the UK facilities for a couple of days. He's really bought in. He's putting in work this offseason. Everything you'd really want out of a guy, organizing team workouts, trying to develop more chemistry with him and Davis. So nothing, you know, no problem, but we've seen it. You know, he picked up a technical foul in one of his first couple of games here in New Orleans, which caused him to miss a game because of a suspension. It's just like, you know, you can't pick these up. Why are you yelling at refs and acting like this? And it's, you know, always going to be part of his personality that he's somewhat combustible. It hasn't shown its face here in New Orleans yet, but there's always the threat of that lurking. And I think people kind of walk on eggshells having to deal with that.
Let's look at this from the Cleveland side. You look at what DeMarcus Cousins is, this uber athletic, is actually like a modern centralized. He's hitting threes a little bit now. He'd be like a very interesting piece for whatever, how he actually would fit with the Cavs. Let's say it's something like Shumpert and, you know, some other matching salary and the Nets pick. Like, let's say that's what gets Cousins to Cleveland and they go all in. Let's say that just happens. What do you make of Cousins on a team with LeBron and with Kevin Love and with Tristan Thompson?
You know, I think he'd be okay in the beginning, especially because he's going to know he's competing for a title. I don't think you need to worry about anything after the immediate trade. That's kind of what I got. It's then if things go wrong next season, and, you know, it depends. I don't know enough about LeBron's personality to jump in and try and, you know, make assumptions, but this is Cousins is a guy who values loyalty. He doesn't like being thrown under the bus or anything like that. And I know LeBron likes to have some fun with that. You know, it takes shots. I don't know if he quite does it at his own teammates, but the whole, you know, situation with Kyrie and all that, and it's all those rumors coming out of there, and I don't know what's true, and I don't, you know, buy much into it. That's where I could see maybe he runs into some trouble. He definitely seems like he wants to kind of be the alpha guy on a team or the biggest personality. And that works with Davis because Davis is quiet and he tries to lead by example more. And he's not necessarily the guy who's going to speak up all the time or take shots through media, things like that. So it works here. You know, is that a concern you'd have with him and LeBron potentially there in Cleveland?
It's a very interesting question because, like, with certain guys, like, I think LeBron is, like, more welcoming with guys than, like, I think sometimes he maybe gets credit for. Like, I think with Kyrie, from everything I know, him and Kyrie, like, weren't exactly buds when LeBron decided to come here. And I think, like, there was certainly some friction with those guys. And I think that's pretty well known at this point. Now Kyrie's in another city. And I think a lot of the reason, you know, is is with him, you know, like, wanting to be the man, right? I think, like, I think he probably like respects like what Boogie is. I think he'd want Boogie to come in right away. I think like he'd be able to sort of like make that work. And I think just like if Boogie came in and was like ready to win, like kind of like you're saying, and he sort of meshed with who else is there, and like it might be like a Channing Frye would be someone who like in terms of salary filler would make sense like to deal out because of what he's making. that he's been essential to the Cavs locker room. And I think if like because of like if you wanted someone that could make Boogie laugh, Cousins or Fry would be like the guy to do that. So it would be like interesting to see how you replace the potential moodiness of Boogie with Boogie's moodiness in with in place of this like in place of Channing Fry. That would be interesting. In terms of the short term, where my concern sort of lies, I wonder how hard he would be to acclimate in like February because of how, does, you know, like
it's just not easy in his skill set.
No, not
yeah.
At all.
I mean, the Pels struggled with it, and it's all of a sudden, you know, it's like, how do you get this guy in who doesn't play like almost any other player in the league, really? And you're trying to figure out how to all of a sudden get him in on the fly. And that's why the Pels struggled, really. And that's why I think they've been putting a lot of emphasis on training camp and preseason to just try and get him in there. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see how he fits. But yeah, I mean, he would fundamentally change the way the Cavs play, wouldn't he? Or does he kind of fill a similar-ish role, just much better to Tristan Thompson?
I think it would depend on what they decided to do with him. And it goes back to a question that we've seen with Kevin Love the last 3 years. It's like, if you look at Kevin Love, they have used him in moments in what he did in Minnesota, but they haven't accommodated him. I don't know if you could do that with Boogie. You know, like, I don't know if you could just say, Boogie, you're going to shoot spot up threes and rebound and whatnot, right? Like, I don't know if you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, he might like that because at times he does appear to be very lazy, and that's less work for him just to spot up on the perimeter and launch a couple of threes. And we all know big men love hitting threes when they can, so he might like that role there. You never know. But, that's not also the best use of his talents and not what you want. If you make a trade for him, you don't want him doing that.
No, like, you want him posting up and, like, doing and passing out of the post to, like, cutting LeBron into all the shooting the Cavs have. Like, that's what you would want. And that would be a very distinct change because you would have to cede possessions from LeBron, now possessions from Isaiah Thomas, possessions from Kevin Love, minutes from Tristan Thompson, who is, you know, going to be more comfortable switching out on quicker point guards than Boogie. Could you play them? Like, there's all these questions they would have to answer because of just his sheer size and what he can do. Like, you know, like, are you trying to flip Love, you know, then too, to just give Boogie more room? Like, how much are you cutting Tristan Thompson's minutes? Like, can him and Boogie play together? You know, could you play him as like a small ball five against the Warriors, where it's like LeBron and Jay Crowder, and like they go bigger that way? Could like Boogie hang, you know, with and just like abuse Draymond? Like, that's kind of what I'm wondering if you're trying to do. And those are just like real interesting, complicated questions that I don't know if, like, I don't know if we could ever like definitively answer that unless we saw it like in a finals, right? Like, these are things that if the Cavs decided to do this and like this deal happened, there would be so much unknown where like I think they would like be able to figure it out in the East. Like, I think they're still the favorites in the East. I think they'd probably still get to the finals unless LeBron's hurt. Like, in the finals, like, how would Boogie fit in that finals is just, like, an interesting question, because it's, like, you're basically saying, we have these three bigs, one of whom can't really defend, one of whom, like, can when he's not being lazy, and one of whom had a really bad series last year, and that's just not, then you have Fry, and whatever. You have Zizic, who won't factor in. Is those three bigs, is that the actual way to beat the Warriors? And that is, in some ways, it's not quite the same, because Davis is on another level than Love and Thompson, but it's an extension of the same bet the Pelicans made. It's that we have these two really talented bigs that can do all this stuff. We're going to double down on this style of ball in an NBA that is saying that is not what we want.
No, I mean, this is a really interesting experiment, and I think the Pels should be, they're this weird test case that the league should be paying attention to, even if they're not very good, because it's, does this work in the modern NBA, and the NBA that's kind of getting away from these two type of bigs? And these aren't like two, you know, prototypical Shaq-like centers, of course. They both have range, they both are like hyper-athletic, so it's a little bit different than that, but it's, the Pels saw that, hey, the NBA is going this one direction. We can't put a roster together that's going to compete with that. Let's go the opposite way and see if it works. And if it fails, it fails. But at least you tried, and you're not then kind of spinning the wheels to stay in the same situation that you were before, fighting to maybe get into the 8 seed. Here, you should get in if it works pretty easily. And if it doesn't, well, okay, it doesn't work. And then no one tries this type of thing again.
That's, yeah, I think that's sort of like what it scared teams away from doing that. In your mind, would Boogie, let's say the deal would be the Nets pick, which I think the Cavs would certainly say would be like enough, right? Like, I very much say, like, if they don't have any other young players anyway, but it would be the Nets pick, let's say yeah. Shumpert and Fry. Like, let's say that deal happens, the Cavs just get Boogie back. How do you think that changes them in a series against the Warriors from what you know about how Boogie has acclimated and how he would do in that situation?
You have to figure, so let me ask you this tip before I answer that. Is this kind of the ideal trade for the Cavs to try and beat the Warriors, bringing in a guy like Cousins? Realistic trade, not that you can pick any player, but of guys that maybe will be available on the trade deadline, he's got to be up there with like the top one, two, or three guys that they might want to bring in, even if it does dramatically change what they do to try and beat that Warriors team, right?
I say so, and it's partially because like if we're being realistic about who's available, there's just not a lot of guys that scream like this guy actually could help you, and like you, it'd be worth taking a chance. And like Melo, like it doesn't help in my mind. Right? Like Dwayne Wade, like it's in my mind is like probably going to be a Cav by March or something. He's
yeah,
not really
that's like
help.
A given, right?
Yeah, like, but he's not going to help you. No, like I just don't think like this Dwayne Wade is like really going to tilt the series for you against Golden State, and that's just the reality. Boogie is like talented enough, young enough, in his prime enough, versatile enough, where like you could talk yourself into him doing that. And like if you look at the trade market, how many other guys that are like that, if you're going for a star, like I know people have talked about like getting ancillary pieces and young players back from another team for that Nets pick, where you combine the win now and you get the young players that maybe aren't as good as a Michael Porter or a Doncic or a Bagley. Cousins is like it's in my mind the in his prime star that seems like if they were to go after that would be the guy, because I just can't think of anybody else that's necessarily available and fit your and would theoretically fit a need.
No, and it's like even if they somehow manage to pull in Paul George, you know, who I love and I know he'd work well there, I think for them, and again, it seems like their measuring stick, and this is an outsider perspective, of course, has to be against the Warriors.
Not anyone else.
They're not worried. It's just, does this help you beat the Warriors? And I feel like Cousins is that guy because, again, we've seen against the Warrior teams, there's certain ways you can go after them and it works. And one of that is controlling the glass and kind of, like you said, bullying Draymond a little bit and taking advantage of certain things there. And, you know, Draymond covers a lot of guys well. He could struggle against Cousins. We've seen Cousins, you know, hurt the Warriors in the past, and I think that's where it might work. Because if he's drawing double teams, which if you get him the ball down low, and he doesn't get the ball down low enough here in New Orleans, but he certainly did at times in Sacramento, it just frees up everyone else. Imagine LeBron James with just a little bit more space and what he'd be able to do, and opening that up for other guys and the open looks that Kevin Love's going to get in that case. And, you know, it kind of changes your offense much more than someone else would, just because of he's going to bend the defense more than other guys, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very correct read on that. Let's wrap it up on this. Let's just throw up however you feel about this. How likely do you think it is that the Pelicans try to stick it out for the whole year with Boogie?
Unless it's like really bad and there's injuries or something, like I'm of the mindset of it's like 90% and up, that even if they're bad in like 8 to 10 games out of the playoffs, they're still going to go down with the ship, because at least they know they can offer him about $30 million more than any other team can, or at least 20. I'm forgetting the numbers off the top of my head, but if they can offer him that much more, at least that does give you an advantage to try and re-sign him. We've also seen, you know, sign and trades work a little bit in the offseason now, and make somewhat of a comeback, even though it's not quite the same. So because of that, and like I said, the past history, they had a first round pick on the table for Ryan Anderson, chose not to do it in hopes that they could re-sign him to a hometown discount, even though they basically knew he was gone. They still took the chance. Cousins is so much of a better player. We're so much more. I think they're going to stick it out, even if things look bad. Like I said, 90% and above.
Yeah, that to me just makes sense, because I think you are still you. If you make the playoffs and you think you're going to make the playoffs, it just seems like you are, if you can get there and you should be the favorites to commit to keep Cousins, right? Like that to me just seems like the likeliest.
Like I think if they make the playoffs, it's almost, I don't want to say it's a guarantee that he's going to re-sign, because you never know, and we've seen crazier things happen, but he finally gets into the playoffs. He's in a good situation with a coach he works well with a GM he trusts, and loyalty and trust are huge to this guy. It's just, why would you walk away to that and go into the unknown at that point?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. What are your biggest, like, just aside from everything we've talked about, are there any other big questions you have about this Pelicans team this year that you think could tip things in the direction of things going either really well or really bad?
Yeah, I mean, it's like we said, the supporting cast. Like, I am very worried about Holiday. He should be better than, you know, the 15 points per game he averaged basically last year. But, like, watching a lot of the film, looking at the numbers, he struggles if he doesn't have room to drive to the rim. And when you have these two bigs down there, one of whom's presumably being double-teamed, that's already three guys down low. And then you have the guy guarding Holiday, and all of a sudden it's looking like just a mess down there, and it's just there's no room. So if he doesn't work, this team's going to be in trouble, because where does the scoring from? You know, it's the modern NBA. You got to have shooting, and, you know, outside of Holiday, there's no one who really hits threes. At least, you know, percentage is a good thing, but you need to have volume too to at least force a defense to bend. I don't care if you necessarily shoot 45%, but you only take two threes per game, because no one's too worried about you then. And that's something the Pelicans are having a situation with. You have Ian Clark, but he's never played a larger role. You have Etuan Moore, who's a nice enough player, but are they going to get enough three-point shooting to prevent double teams on both Davis and Cousins at the same time, which I'm kind of worried about, and I'm not sure that that's there. So if they don't get that proper spacing, this team's going to probably struggle some on offense, even though they're being carried by Davis and Cousins. That's the biggest thing here.
Yeah, I think they're going to be one of the most fascinating teams to watch this year. Everyone out there should definitely follow Jake. Just tell everyone real quick where they can find you on Twitter.
Yeah, of course. My Twitter handle, it's at Nola Jake. Pretty easy right there. Of course, host of Locked On Pelicans, writer for BourbonStreetShots.com, but do a lot of the stuff on Twitter. If you're curious about the Pelicans, come check it out. Have a lot of fun on there, at Nola Jake.
Yeah, make sure if you want the Locked On Pelicans podcast as well, you can get every NBA team in one feed. Just look up Locked On Network in iTunes, wherever you get podcasts, and you'll be able to find Locked On Pelicans there every day of the week. And we're getting close to the season, so make sure you check out them if you're someone out there in the Cavs circle that's hoping the Cavs deal for Boogie. But Jake, thanks so much for coming on.
Of course, thanks for having me on today.
Everyone, we'll be back tomorrow with another episode, and we'll talk more about Chetty because he's playing a game as you hear this. But talk to you guys again soon, and thanks to Jake for coming on. This has been Locked On Cavaliers.
Rush into Old Navy today for up to 50% off store-wide. Get dresses from $15 for women, $12 for girls, plus up to 75% off clearance for the whole family right now at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid 10/16 to 10/20, select styles only.